Thank you. If you could make your way back to your seats, that would be great. Thank you very much. Well, good morning, church. Good morning, church. Good morning, church. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to our online community today. So good to have you on board with us this morning. We're just changing up things a little bit for our online community as of today. We're screening our entire service, not just our sermon. And that's because we have a number of people that just can't make it to church. Part of the problematic zone that we find ourselves in at the moment is that church changes every week. The faces on team changes every week according to what's happening out in the community with COVID. And so we never know whether we've got a drummer, whether we've got an electric lead guitarist, whatever's going on. And so this morning, once again, our creative team, give it up for our creative team. Love you guys. Love the flexibility and just the way you change. And church, for me, is different every single Sunday. And so we wanted our online community not to miss out on what we're doing with praise and worship, wanting them to very much be a part of a full service. So we're online right from the very start this morning. If you're a new person today, welcome. My name's Tony. I'm part of the team here. Going to speak for a few moments this morning. Well, actually, I lie. A little bit longer than a few moments, but hopefully it will be good. Can I just double promote the thought for all the boys this coming Thursday night, is it? This coming Thursday night, we're going to play pool. It's not the kind of pool where you wear your swimmers. So don't come with your swimmers and your floaties. We're playing snooker in the billiards hall out at Callumvale. Note the change of address. It's the same business, but they've changed where they exist. And so get one of these cards from the Ask Me desk. The Ask Me desk is the place to go in the foyer to find out all things church. So if it's happening, the people at that desk will know about it. They'll give you a card to everything that's going on. So it's Thursday night, 7 p.m, cost you $5, and it's at the Callumvale Central Shopping Centre out at Callumvale. So make sure you get one of those so you don't turn up at the old pool hall, because you will miss out. We've also got some special little invite cards for our Easter weekend set of services. We're here Good Friday, 9 a.m. for a one-hour service. We're doing communion in that service on Good Friday as we celebrate the cross of Jesus. And then on Sunday, we're also gathering here for a baptism service. I think we've got about 9 people that are getting baptized on that Sunday. It's always an exciting service, Easter weekend for us, particularly Easter Sunday resurrection service. So you can use this to invite people. All the details are on there. And our theme is changed. Everyone say changed. Changed, and we're talking about how Easter changed everything for everybody. So good to have you in church today. I want to talk for a few moments along the thought that we've been on for a little while now. We're going on a journey talking about being a believer. And we've called this Believer 101. If you've been to university, you've been to college, you've studied all the 101 subjects, they're the fundamentals. They're the foundational truths in the area of choice with your study. When I went to Bible college, it was in the area of theology. So it was Theology 101. And if you studied Theology 101, you kind of got the basics right. You got the dynamics, the foundational tools in terms of understanding about God, His existence, evidences for His existence, the Word of God, and all of that and how that works. And it's so important to get the 101s right, to get the fundamentals right. If you don't get the foundations set properly, then it doesn't matter what you build, it's not going to stand the test of time. That's what Jesus said to us. Jesus said this in Matthew 7:24 when he talked about two men that built identical houses, identical in terms of the physical building looked the same. But how many of you know that the physical building is held up by something that's invisible? It's not visible to the naked eye once it's built on, and that's, of course, the foundation. You know the frustrating thing about foundations is they take so long to lay. It takes so long. If you've ever built a building, the builder and the architect and all the laborers, they put in so much effort in the foundations, in the stuff you don't see. in the stuff that nobody applauds you for. Like, nobody walks into a building and says, gee, I love what you did with those foundations. Just, that's amazing foundational work that you laid. Nobody applauds you for that. They applaud you for what they can see, for the aesthetic value. But don't be fooled by what you see, because it's what you don't see that holds up what should be seen. And that's what Jesus is talking about. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, and this phrase is what we're really focusing on, and puts them into practice. Hears and puts them into... You know, every teacher wants their students to put into practice what they learn. They just don't want them to hear it. They want them to apply it. And that's what Jesus is saying. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And you know the old song we used to sing in church and Sunday school, if you ever went many, many years ago, the rains came down, the floods came up, but the house stood. And that's what this passage is all about. The house stood the challenges, the tests, the stresses of time. And so our series, Believer 101, it's really about living practical Christianity, putting faith into work here, making it work in your daily grind, in your average week, that your faith would make a difference for you getting the foundations right. There is a big difference. I've been saying this every week. There's a big difference between being a professing Christian and a practicing Christian. And don't just be a professor, be a practicer. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be a professor. All the professors in the room said, what? Don't be a professor, be a practicer. Be a practicer. In other words, be practical. I love practical faith. I love practical Christianity. I don't do the mystical thing. I love the practical thing. I think Jesus came to bring real change in our lives and in our communities and in the nations of the world. And that's the kind of faith that I want us all to build today. Paul said it this way. He said in another verse, I'm not going to put it on screen, but we used it last week, Philippians 4:9. Paul says, keep putting into practice everything you've seen in me, you've heard from me. Keep putting into practice everything you've seen from me, in me, and everything you've heard from me. In another place, Paul says, imitate me or follow me or practice my lifestyle as you see me imitating, following, and practicing the lifestyle of Jesus. That's how it works in the Bible. It's see and do. Jesus said it this way to the disciples, watch what I do and go and do it. It's like the builder and the apprentice, the master and the apprentice. We are the apprentices as followers of God together, and we're all doing our best to follow God in a practical way, learning the life and the lifestyle that he wants us to live. And so for Believer 101 today, I want to talk about the journey. And it's a very important aspect to understand that we are in a journey. That your salvation is not an event. I touched on it last week, but I want to underscore it again today. Your salvation is not an event. It's a journey. It's a journey of continuance that God calls us to live. The Bible says that God leads and guides us in paths of righteousness. And so God leads us on a pathway. There's a race to run. There's a walk to walk. It's not just all talky-talky in the kingdom of God. Your faith is practical. It's got something that you need to walk out. We used to sing a song, I Walk By Faith. Remember those days when we did action songs in church? And thank the Lord for good old Pastor Phil Pringle and his church in Sydney and Chris Folsom and that song, I Walk By Faith. A great truth to it. We walk. We walk. Turn to your neighbor and say, walk. Walk. And don't stop walking the faith journey. So this journey, it's made up of step after step after step after step. And we just need each one to keep taking our next step. steps and to remain energized for the journey, to remain energized for the journey, enthusiastic about the journey, to be just as strong like Caleb 40 years later, to be just as strong when you first started the journey, just as enjoying church just as much as you used to when you first came through the doors, 20 years later to still be loving the journey, loving God, loving the church and loving others, because you're on a journey with God that's built on the Word of God. It's a journey where we're called to continue following God. Continue following. We're all followers. That's all we are. We're all followers. We're followers that follow Jesus. And the salvation that God has given us, it's not an end, it's a beginning. Yeah. It's a beginning. And we're all on different stages of the journey. And the good news is, no matter what stage you're on, we're all here to help each other. We're all here to help each other and cheer each other. We're not judging people that are back here or people that are ahead of us up there. We're going on a journey together, connected together. You know, this journey, I was thinking about it, and I was looking in the Bible about the whole theme of end times, because there's a lot of people going around now saying, are we in the end times? Well, one thing I can guarantee you is this: we're one day closer than we were yesterday. We're one day closer, regardless of what your theological perspective is, we're one day closer to the end than we were yesterday. Either the end or your end.
Yeah.
It's true. It's true. One day closer, either way. Either to the end or to your end. And so it's a journey where we're just cheering each other on. You know, in regards to the end times, the Bible says, in the last days, the love of many will grow cold. The love of many will grow colder. It speaks of a falling away because of the struggle, because of the struggle of the journey, because of the struggle of faith, because maybe foundations haven't been laid like they should have been laid. Maybe the foundations and the fundamentals have not been applied as they should have been. And I think many people just struggle to live for God. Here's the truth. You weren't actually called to live for God. You were called to live in God. Not for him, but in him.
Yeah.
You're not living for him like you're keeping all the rules that keeps you in the kingdom. You're living out of a connection and a relationship and a vibrancy and a spirit that God has placed inside of you. You're living in him, not for him. God's bigger than you. Did you get that? He's bigger than any one of us, and he can represent himself better than I can ever represent him. And so I live in him, I'm not living for him. Paul says it in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 in the NIV. I want to read it from this morning. It says, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him." Continue to live your lives in him. In him. If I open up my Bible at this verse in Colossians and just look at the way that the scribes have kind of, those that wrote this particular version have phrased it. They put little headers, and I know the headers aren't a part of the original, you know, thought of scriptures and everything like that, but they help us in terms of understanding what we're reading in terms of a theme. The header for this part of the scriptures in my Bible says, "Freedom from rules and new life in Christ." Freedom from rules and new life in Christ. You know, your relationship with Christ, our relationship, my relationship with Christ is not a relationship based on keeping the rules. The rules are there to help. The rules are there to guide. The rules are there to instruct. The rules are not there for something that we tick off. I've done that. I've done that. Like the rich young ruler when he came to Jesus. I've done that. I've done that. I've done that. And then Jesus gave him one he didn't do and he failed the test. Jesus is not out to catch you by having you fail the rules. It's not what the journey is about. It's about living in deep relationship with him. The next verse, Paul says, "Let your roots grow deep into him." It's a picture of a tree or a garden with plants. It's a picture of roots growing deep down into connection with Jesus, and let your lives be built on him. In other words, he is the foundation. He is the fundamental. He is the thing that's going to hold your building up. And he says, then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. So don't let anyone capture you. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are, listen to this word, complete. You are complete even though you don't feel complete. You are perfected even though you don't look perfect. You are complete. You are perfected through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and every authority. I think every believer on this journey of Believer 101 needs to understand this truth, and it's what I want to talk about today. Our journey with God is a process. It's not a project. Our journey with God is a process. It's not a project. It's not a set and done thing. It's a walk that continues in relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul literally writes this kind of concept that when you came to Christ, there's a trust that you placed in Him, and now what you need to do is to continue to walk in that trust, continue to walk in that relationship, continue following Him. You know, when we placed our faith as individuals in Jesus and believed and received Him, it wasn't the closing ceremony. For some people it is. They come to church, they put their hand up in a crusade, in a series of meetings, at an event, at a whatever that the church does, and they make some sort of visual public response. And we built our churches on this methodology for years and years and years. Right or wrong, it's what we've done. We people put up their hand and say, yes, I received Jesus, and then that person, you'll never see them again. You never see them again. The number of crusades I've been involved in, I've attended, I've been a part of, where someone put up their hand, hundreds of people put up their hand, and then in a month's time, they're nowhere to be seen. Because for them, it was an event. It was a moment. It was like a done deal. And then go and live life any way you want to live life. No, this is a journey. It's a journey where we're called to continue living in Christ. You know, when you're born as a human being baby, you're complete, but you've still got to grow. You're complete. You're the whole package. Everything you need is in that little frame. And it unpacks over years and years and years. How many people in the room are still unpacking? How many need to repack and unpack again? Come on, we are. We're an unfolding being in our journey. In actual fact, we reinvent ourselves through different stages and seasons of life. If you met me 10 years ago, you wouldn't know me today. If you met me 20 years ago, you wouldn't know me today. When I go to my hometown, people that thought they knew me when I was a teenager, when I was a young man, there's a song there, when I was a young man, if they knew me then, they don't know me now. Because I'm a new version of me. I'm a new person today. I think differently today. I talk differently today. I look different today. I've matured. Everyone say matured? I've continued the journey is what I've done. We're not called to remain the same. We're called to bear fruit as we locate ourselves in this continuing walk and process that God has got us in. So number one today, my first big thought today is this, is God is a God of process. God is a God of process. And God is really comfortable with process. We're not, He is. God is comfortable with it taking time to get you where He wants you to be and to get you to be who He wants you to be. And God is extremely patient. And that just reflects and defines every one of us as being not God. Because I am not patient. Any friends in the room today? I am not patient with that journey. I am not patient in terms of wanting to become who I should be and wanting to do what I should be doing. I want it to happen instantly. But God is a God of process. Let me throw this verse at you. It's 2 Corinthians 5:17. Paul once again says this. He says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ, anyone that's become a believer, a follower, a Christian, has become a new person. You become a new person. The old life is gone and the new life has, everyone say the last word, begun. A new life has begun. You know, I began my life on the 19th of July, 1962 in the General Hospital at Townsville. I was born on that day. Everyone say, that's a long time. That's a long time ago. 1962, 19th of July, write it down. 19th of July, 1962. On the day I was born, the journey begun. That was the beginning of my journey. My old life in my mother's womb, hello mum, she's online today. The journey in my mother's womb ended and my new life had begun. But my new life was not fulfilled. It was not completed. It was not been there, done that one day in the hospital. It was just the beginning. Just the beginning. See, God is a God of process. When you first become a Christian, everything doesn't change overnight. You feel good because your sins are forgiven. The weight of that is lifted from you. But you're still the same person. You still got the same stinking attitude. You still got that potty mouth to deal with. You still got thoughts that are running off the tracks of, you know, good choices. You still got old patterns and habits and hang-ups. You still get tempted. You still get tested. You'll still lust. You'll still get angry. You'll still have a bad temper. Why? Because you're in process. You're in process. You're not a project that God has redeemed straight away and made everything perfect. He's perfecting you. He is perfect. That's why I've got to be gentle with you. And that's why you've got to be gentle with me. Because we're all under a work in progress. We're all someone that God is working in and someone that God is working on. Some of us need God working on us more than others. But God is working on us all and God is working in us. All. And those attitudes and those habits and those things that cause us to have disruptions and detours and disappointments in life, they are the things that God wants to work on as we continue to walk our journey out with Him. You know, walking with God can at times be really discouraging if you don't understand what Paul is talking about here. In terms of the power of process, understanding the power of process in our walk and in our lives. And I think much of the disappointment we experience is due to a misunderstanding of our salvation. Like, if I'm saved, why do I still struggle? If I'm saved, why am I still tempted? Why am I not perfect? Why is forgiving others so hard? Because being saved is a process. That's why. It's not a project. I want to share some truths about our salvation that I kind of touched on last week, but it's very true to say that we are saved by grace once we've made a decision to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. You know, you put your hand up in a meeting like this one, and I'm going to ask people to do that at the conclusion of this service. Maybe there are some people right here today that need to get right with God and give their lives to God. Well, the Bible says here in Ephesians, Paul says, God saved you. It's a part past tense thought. When you give your life to Christ, He saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. So His salvation is immediate. It's a gift that God gives to us. And we are saved. That has already happened. That's in past tense. But then there's a truth where it's walked out day by day, where Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:16, he says, that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed. Let's focus on that word, every day. That thought, renewed, that word could also be understood as renovated. God has us under renovation. And we are renovated from the day we give our lives to Christ and become a believer till the day we die. We are a renovation project. And God just takes His time, like I do renovating my house, our house. I take my time. God is taking His time renovating your house. It's the present tense work of God in our lives, and it's done by His grace. It's the same saving grace that does this. This is the work of God that saves us every day. It saves us every day. Cheryl and I are saving a 100-year-old Queenslander. We're renovating it. It's taken about 7 years so far to do it. And every day Cheryl says to me, how long is this going to take? How long before you paint the kitchen? How long before you do this? And in a sense, I'm just like God. I'm taking my time. This could take forever. It could take forever. Because like God does with us, from beginning to end, you are under renovation. You are a work site where God is working in you, and he's saving you daily by his grace. But then there's also a sense where we're saved in the future. So I was saved by his grace, and I am being saved by his grace. But Peter talks about the fact that we will be saved by his grace. He says, God's power protects you through your faith until salvation is shown to you at the end of time. So there's a past tense, there's a present tense, and there's a future tense. Jesus referenced this one in Matthew 24 when he's talking about the end of times, and he says this: those who endure to the end will be saved. Those who endure to the end will be saved. So I was saved by his grace, I am being saved by his grace, and I will be saved by his grace. So I was, I am, I will be. I was, I am, and I will be. So don't give up when the struggle gets a little bit hard, because this is a process, and we are called on this journey to keep following God and living our lives in him. My second big thought is the struggle that you have on a daily basis is a sign of the process. It's a sign that you're in process. It's a sign that you're walking the journey. Just the fact that you struggle, the fact that there is this war, this inner conflict that Paul talks about between your flesh and God's spirit in you, where that struggle is evidence that you are on the path, that you are doing your best to follow God. The fact that you're struggling with it, and the fact that every now and then it just becomes a little bit difficult. And what happens is this: in the struggle, we get mad at ourselves. We get mad at ourselves. We get disappointed with ourselves. We get disillusioned with ourselves when we see ourselves as a renovation project that's taking longer than we thought it should take to get the job completed. So we keep doing laps around our issues. We do lap after lap around our issues, year after year, dealing with that thing. I don't know what your thing is, but I do know you're lapping it. I don't know what your thing is, because we all might have different things. You know, different things that God's working on, different things that God's speaking into, different things that God is highlighting in us, about us, and for us in terms of promises. And it can seem so sometimes like it's taking so long, and doing more and more laps around it. Now, you may still be struggling, but you are changing day by day. You may still be lapping it, but you are getting stronger day by day by day. So don't give up just because you lap it again. Don't give up because you lap it again, and you lap it again, and you lap it again. It's a process. God is patient. Don't give up in the struggle of disappointment when it's like downloading, when the promise of God is downloading to you. It's like a computer. How many of you have sat there in front of a computer and it's downloading? It's buffering. Because it's the download speed is not big enough. You know, there was a couple of Tuesday nights ago, the creative team were here doing a night on Growth Track. Our Growth Track is how you get involved in our church, and there's 4 20-minute videos that are involved in that Growth Track. And I'm one of the speakers, for some reason, on that Growth Track process. And so they had the senior pastor up on screen, and like, my head's not big enough to put it up on that big screen, makes it even bigger. But what happened about halfway through that video downloading and playing live, it started to buffer. Have you ever noticed when it buffers on a computer, it always gets a face at the most awkward moment? And here I was buffering with my lips puckering on the big screen. I must have received 100 messages that night from the 5 people that were in the room. My phone was just going ding, 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 ding all night, getting photos of me buffering on a, because it's awkward when something's downloading. It's awkward. And when the promises of God are downloading for you in everyday life, it can be awkward, and you might not look your prettiest. Like, I had no control over how I looked, and everyone at my expense mocks me. You know where the Bible says mockers go? I was wounded. But I forgive you. Forgiveness is hard. Forgiveness is hard. Buffering is hard for all of us. When life buffers, when God is trying to download stuff, we don't always get it instantly. We don't always capture what God wants us to do, say, or be, or the attitudes that He wants us to have, because downloading the will and the purpose and the plans and the promises of God is a process, not an event. It's not an event. It's a process. Here's the thing about process, though. Process is not an excuse. It's an empowerment. It's not an excuse. It's not an empowerment. You can't use process to excuse bad behavior, bad attitude. It's just the way I am. No, it's not the way you are. This is the way God wants you to be. Walk ye in it. And it's a relearning of the way God wants us to be as humans. So process is not an excuse to keep making mistakes. It's not a reason to give up when you have a setback, because we're all going to have setbacks and knockdowns and things go wrong in life. Everybody is in process. So the lesson is this: understand we're all in process and show grace. Show grace to others on the journey. As much as you want to show grace to yourself, show it to others. And don't be too quick to judge others, because others are in the same process that you and I are in. My last big thought for the day is this: is we need to embrace and enjoy process by living in Jesus, not for Jesus. Embrace and enjoy process by living in Jesus, not for Jesus. I want to read this scripture again, Colossians 2:7. Let your roots grow deep down into Him, and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught. Living in Jesus flows from having deep roots into Him. From having deep roots into Him. That's why we do church. That's why we do connect groups, small groups. That's why we gather together. All the things we do together help us to get our roots going down deep into Christ by building our faith on His Word, by building our faith on relationship with Him. Now, talking about relationship, God is more interested, much more interested in relationship than task. Much more interested in relationship than task. There always will be a task. There always will be a mission. But God is that kind of person that would rather sit down and have a cup of tea with you than just get out and do a task. He's that ultimate relational being, that ultimate relationship kind of personality. He loves the task, and there is a mission. But it's the relationship that He wants to establish. And in actual fact, the task is only achieved out of the relationship that we have. If you lose the relationship while you're doing the task, not good. Not good. Anchor yourself always in the relationship that we have. Back to Colossians 2:6. Paul says, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him. You know, this Christian journey, it's a life. It's not an it, it's a Him. We follow a person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a principle, it's a person. Not a program, a person. Not a position, it's a relationship. So next time you lap around your thing, whatever your thing is, whether it's lack of discipline, whether it's lack of financial control, yes, that's a thing. Whether it's an inability to finish things, whether it's a lack of patience or principle, then shift your attention from it and get your attention on Him and the relationship you have with Him through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, and through your family, your church connection and community. And He will take care of it, because He is building something in you as you live your life in Him, not for Him. That was a long-winded explanation of what sanctification really is and salvation really looks like. So Paul says, live for Him. Live in Him, not live for Him. There's a big difference in living in Christ than there is living for Christ. It's a whole different energy. it's a whole different energy living in him, out of relationship with him, than it is living for him. One is task-driven, the other is relationship-driven. Living in Jesus is much easier than living for Jesus. And in actual fact, you can't live for Jesus unless you live in Jesus. So it's not that we don't live for Jesus, but we have our living in Jesus that is continually there as a foundational thought. So it's not about a destination, it's about a journey. And you're on the journey today, and I'm on the journey today, and Christ Jesus is our destination. And it's the same grace that started the journey that will continue the journey and that will bring the journey to the end. It's the same saving grace that Jesus gives us. Now, this verse that Paul shares that we focused on this morning, it's not a command. It's not like if you claim to know God, if you claim to know Jesus, then you better live like it. And that's how the church has done it for years and years. If you claim to know God, then you've got to live this way. No, it's if you claim to know God, you have an invitation to live in him. An invitation. It's an invitation to live in him. In actual fact, it's a privilege to live in Christ. It's a privilege. It's the opposite of religion. Religion is the rule book. Religion is what we do. Religion is how we advance in life in terms of keeping the rules. Whereas relationship is how we're energized in a different way. We're energized in a different way from the depth of relationship that we have with Christ. And it's a privilege where it's the thought of, I don't have to, I get to. Like, I don't have to come to church. I get to come. I don't have to. Like sometimes people say to me, well, do I have to do this? No, you don't do anything. You don't have to do anything. We get to do it. And you'll find all these people that serve on our stage and serve in different areas of church life, our techies and hospitality teams and our kids teams and all the teams, the service teams. If you speak to the people involved in these teams, they understand the culture of our house is that we get to, not that we have to. See, there are two different attitudes. One is the thought of obligation, and the other one is the thought of opportunity. Opportunity. I have the opportunity to serve God. I have the opportunity to come today to church and gather with my family and friends and worship God. I've had that opportunity for many, many decades now. That opportunity. And that opportunity has become so ingrained in our lives that it's just a habit. I couldn't think of doing anything else besides what I do, because I've continued to walk that journey. Can I ask you to just continue? Turn to your neighbor and say, continue. Continue in him. Continue in him. See, the world says to us, and the world has this attitude that we need to finish what we started. And it's a good thought in a lot of areas of life. But in regards to salvation, you never started it. You didn't start it. And so you can't finish it. Because you can't finish what you didn't start. He started it. And he will complete that which concerns you. He will perfect that which concerns you, is what the Bible says. Would you stand to your feet? He will perfect that which concerns you. So in terms of the life you're building, the person you're called to become, the things that God has planned for you to do in life, God will perfect that. Every day, he's working on that. Every moment, he's working on that. See, as Cheryl said around communion, Jesus has done everything for us. And there's nothing that I can do towards my own salvation. My responsibility is to believe. That's my responsibility, is to believe in him. And if you're in the room today, maybe you've heard salvation and the concept of journeying with God in a whole different light, where it seemed to be more about, you know, keeping the rules and being a good person and behaving a certain way and going to church every Sunday with a religious kind of attitude. Maybe you've seen it presented like that before. Well, this model is all about understanding God started it, God finished it when he sent Jesus to the cross, and all I'm doing is believing in him. I'm having my sins unloaded from my life daily. unloaded from my world daily, and I'm continuing in Him. And God is working in me. And God is working on me. Going to church is not something I tick off and I walk away the rest of my week and don't ever think of God and neglect God and neglect my calling. No, I live a life of opportunity because of what Jesus has done in my life. I can promise you this about God. I can promise you, after decades of walking with God, that God will lift your life and make your world a whole lot better if you walk with Him and live your life in Him. He will redeem you. He will do a much better job at fulfilling your life than you will. He will lead you in the paths, like the Bible says, of righteousness. There's a path that God wants to lead you on. But there's also other paths that you can take. Other paths that won't get you to where God wants you to get to. Won't form you to be who God wants you to be. And the thing about our world is our world says, well, you can take any path you like and they'll all end up in the same place. No, they won't. They won't. That's the thing about paths. I mean, you can jump in your car right now and head towards Sydney. Or you can jump in your car and head towards Darwin. They won't get you to the same place. They get you to different destinations. And so the path you're on is very important. The path of life that you're on, the people that are around you on that path are really important. And that's why God places people in families, in churches, is to help them stay the path. Everyone say, stay the path. Stay the path. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes as we draw to a conclusion today? I want to give an opportunity for people in the room today that you don't know Jesus Christ personally at this point in time. You've not yet surrendered your life and your heart and asked God to come and forgive you of your sins. Today is an opportunity that you have to do that. And I very much believe in people making this decision in services like this. And I ask people to make that decision by lifting up their hand and letting me see their hand. And I simply acknowledge that. And I tell people, I see your hand and you can put your hand down and I'll pray for you. That's been a process of how we've done it for years, after year, after year, because that's how we kind of start the journey. It's the same with a natural birth. Normally you go to a hospital. Normally. You go to a hospital and you're born in a hospital, in an environment that gives you the best opportunity for life. It's the same for a believer in a service like this. Like people say, do I have to put my hand up? Do I have to do that? Well, you know, putting your hand up is just simply saying, God, I need your help. That's all it is. Like if you were out in the water and you were drowning, you wouldn't hesitate to lift your hand if you wanted the lifesaver. You know, the lifesaver's not going to know to come unless he sees your hand or sees you bobbing up and down. And here's the good news. God sees you. He sees you. Heaven's message to you today is, I see you. I see you. I see you. You're not unnoticed. He notices you're bobbing up and down. He notices you need help. But he's just waiting to see. Will you lift your hand? Will you open your heart? I'm ready to help you start this journey, says God. But I need to know you want to go on it. And so my invitation to everybody in the room today, and you may have made this decision years and years ago. You may have done the whole church deal. You may have been there, done that, got the t-shirt. But the fact is you're not wearing it today and you're not continuing to walk and live in Christ. And today my invitation is for you to come home. Come home. You know, a father or mother's heart has no greater joy than seeing a son or daughter come home. Come home. No matter where they've been, what they've done, who they are, just to come home. And my invitation is for you to come home if you've been away. Or if you've never made this decision before, I'm going to ask you in a moment to lift up your hand nice and high. Look me right in the eye. I'll ask you to put your hand down. I'm going to pray for you. I'm not going to make a song and dance about it. I'm not going to bring you out the front, embarrass you in front of everybody. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to simply ask you to lift up your hand. I'll ask you to put your hand down. Then I'm going to pray a prayer. And I'd ask you to just come and meet me at the conclusion of the service. Just say a quick hello. We want to give you a Bible. And just say a quick word of prayer with you today. So if you're in the room today while no one's looking around, this is your moment right now. If you want to ask Jesus to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, be born again, which means to have your spirit made clean, have your sins forgiven. If you want and need that right now, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand and look me right in the eye. If you want to come home today, lift up your hand. Let me see your hand. Thank you, sir. Somebody else here today? Is that you? Is that you? Lift up your hand nice and high. Let me see your hand. I want to pray with you today as you start this journey, or you re-engage on this journey of following God with all of your heart and living in Him. Is that you today? If that's you, put up your hand nice and high. Let me see your hand. I'll see you, and I'll ask you to put your hand down, and I'll pray for you. If you're online today, you're making this decision online along with us today, in the comment section, just put yes. Just put yes. One of our team will respond to you and help you in any way that we possibly can. We'll include you in our prayer today for our online community. Last time, right across the hall, is that you today? Put up your hand nice and high. Let me see your hand. I want to pray for you today, introduce you to Jesus today. This is your day. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, God, for this young man today. I pray, stand with him today. Help him to understand, and help us to all understand that you see us. You notice us today. And God, you want us to live this life on a daily basis, for every one of us to continue to walk and live in you. Walk and live in you, founded on you, founded on your word, being changed every single day, not to give up because of the struggle and the strain. Help this young man to come into that real intimate, close connection and relationship with you, and help us all, I pray, God, to be excited and enthused and empowered for the journey, and not to let any setback, not to let any time and moment or season disrupt and interrupt the things that you're doing in our heart. Not the disappointments or the disillusionments, not the stupid of others to affect us, but God, to be well grounded and deeply rooted in our relationship and our connection with you. That we would know we are saved, we will be saved, and futuristically at the end, God, our ultimate salvation and completeness will be found in you. We thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Come on, church, let's give the Lord a hand this morning. What a good deal. We're going to close our service with this worship song we sang earlier. Let's lean in for a moment and worship the Lord before we go to hospitality. Thank you.
Holy, holy, holy. you for being with us today. God love you. God bless you. Have the most amazing week. Hospitality Cafe is open right now. Why don't you hang around for a while? Hang around, make some new friends, enjoy some fine coffee, some food together. Thank you very much. God bless you. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you to our online community. Why don't we say goodbye to them? Thank you for being part of our service today. God bless you. We love you. Thank you.